It's me, the one and only, back again with another episode of Detour. This is where we take you down some alternate routes for the wrestling alternatives out there. Allow you to get a perspective of things that are not commonly associated with wrestling podcasts. You see, here on the Detour, we don't necessarily talk about what is on Raw, what is on SmackDown, but we do talk about what you should be paying attention to. Might not be your typical norm, but it is definitely a little bit outside the box. And for those of you who caught the first episode, you will understand the concept of what the Detour is. You see, we take a 10 to 30 minute drive on the road with your host, and so you will hear some outside the box normal noises. This isn't going to be 100% grade A silence with only talking amplified. No, you will hear cars pass, you will hear the typical road noises. But then again, if you have not listened to the first episode of Detour, how dare you? I hate you. Seriously, download it. Listen to it. Now! Do it! Do it! Do it! I am your host, Mr. It's Me, It's Me, from the AWWIR all the way to the DSJMP, the one and only Mr. DRG. Now, for those of you who were in GroupMe soon rather than later, you heard me make a comment about how all my children now are missing their tonsils as well as their adenoids. You see, I've spent most of my day today inside a hospital building. My oldest daughter, who is 6 years old, she'll be 7 in April, had her tonsils out, and this little girl was a solid trooper. She woke up from having surgery with the clear expression of, "Are they out?" "Yes, baby, your tonsils are out." "Oh, great, I'm so happy." No sore throat, no crying, no whining, no anything. It was amazing. Absolutely awesome. You see, I am one of those who I adore my children. One of my favorites is, well, all of them are my favorites, but one of my favorite things is with my four-year-old son. I enjoy playing action figures with him. Now, in the AWWIR, Mr. C-Block came up with a concept for a series of calls with his wrestling toys, and it really hit home for me because I see my son playing with his toys, and it brings back memories. It's a way for me to remember how much I enjoyed doing this stuff when I was his age. But one of his all-time best ever, Mr. Cannot Be Defeated, Mr. Stronger Than Every Other Action Figure Out There, is the Blue Ray Ray. I didn't know if you guys knew this, but he is a wrestling toy god. Similar to how JBL was, only this way, the guy never loses. Because Blue Ray Ray is stronger than anything you will see out there. I love watching the kid play with him, man. It's so much fun. We'll sit down to watch Impact. Like tonight being Friday, we'll sit down to watch Impact. And about 15, 20 minutes into the show, he goes and gets his wrestling figures out and starts playing with them. And he's bouncing off the walls, having such a good time, man. It's awesome to see. But the reason why I bring up Mr. Blue Ray Ray is because the topics on the docket for today, first of which is the announcement of Rey Mysterio, aka Rey Mysterio Jr., signing with AAA. They announced that he will be having a six-man tag match with Mysticles, a.k.a. Mystico, a.k.a. Sin Cara from WWE fame, the one that people referred to as a botch spot machine, who actually isn't as bad whenever he, you know, speaks the language of the people that he's in the ring with, and Alberto El Patron will be appearing, I believe it's in April, I want to say. Get at me on Twitter and let me know if that's right or wrong. I'm sure Kata will definitely point out my faults in all of this, seeing as how I said Hamna instead of Hanma. Yeah, you're the only one that noticed, Kata. I was just trying to get their names out there so people go look. But no, not Kata. No. You gotta remember, I'm the one that introduced you to New Japan. Get over it. Anyways, Mr. Rey Mysterio signed with AAA, and it makes me excited because they're bringing in who I consider to be the king of Lucha Libre for those people like myself, the 30-something-year-olds that were first introduced to Lucha Libre through a person like Rey Mysterio. See, when Rey Mysterio first started in 92 through, believe, 95, he was signed. His first big promotion was AAA before being brought into ECW with his storied rivalry with Psychosis there, and then being introduced into WCW in perhaps what I would consider my all-time favorite division in wrestling, the Cruiserweights. And this was a Cruiserweight division that had a plethora of fast-paced, high-flying stars, from the Super Colos to the Billy Kidmans to the aforementioned Psychosises, the Juventud Guerreras, the Eddie Guerreros, the Chris Jerichos. This Cruiserweight division had some of by far the deepest talent pool we've ever seen. It was amazing to watch. But one of the big reasons why I reference Rey Mysterio in WCW is because he got that giant killer moniker in his time there. And it translated into what he was doing in WWE as the ultimate underdog. WWE gave Rey Mysterio a 10-year babyface run that fit perfectly. From a marketability standpoint, he was by far one of the greatest wrestling heroes to the kids out there. And I love it because that's why my son is so big into a Rey Mysterio Jr. It's nice to see that his career has come full circle, that after it finishes up, it goes back to where it started with in AAA. But the reason why it's tempting to me is that means that there's a shot that he will be in Lucha Underground soon. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to give y'all two options as to ways that Rey Mysterio could debut in Lucha Underground. And I want y'all to get at me on Twitter at @MRDRG_WIR and let me know if you prefer option A or option B, or just throw out option C if you think neither one of them are a good way to debut him. My first option, though, with Alberto El Patron, I was going to say Del Patron, but that would be completely dumb of me. Ha ha ha. Alberto El Patron taking on his nemesis in Tejano. He won the Mega Championship from Tejano. And now, in Lucha Underground, they have a chance for AAA to make Lucha Underground something that the people in Mexico should be paying attention to by allowing the Mega Championship to be defended on Lucha Underground. It would be a big-time nod to that company and that promotion to see this belt defended there. And you could have Alberto El Patron taking on Tejano. Now, either Tejano wins the belt back or loses by disqualification. I don't care either way, but the biggest part of this puzzle is that you have the aftermatch beatdown where Tejano is just beating the ever-living piss out of Alberto El Patron until the fans hear the familiar Rey Mysterio music come out. Oh, well, I guess it's copyrighted. Either way, they see Rey Mysterio come out to a huge pop to save Alberto El Patron, the guy who he will be teaming with in AAA. It blends into their storyline and gives that big nod to Lucha Underground, like I said. That's option A. Option B is you take Prince Puma and this animosity that's been created with the chemistry cracks that you see between him and Conan. Now you take Prince Puma finishing out this feud with Cage by having Conan return to help him get whatever new belt that they're going to give to him. But you see more and more of the protege feeling like his mentor isn't trusting him to finish matches by throwing in this towel like he did against Cage. And then you see more of Conan feeling disrespected by this new up-and-comer not trusting him to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. It builds to a point that whenever another wrestler, I'm going to say Mil Muertes for the sake of argument, when Mil Muertes takes on Prince Puma and is beating the crap out of him, you see Conan turning and siding with Mil Muertes and just demolishing Prince Puma. So much so that it puts him on the shelf for 2 months. And I say 2 months, so it gives the audience time to miss Puma. And the moment that he comes back, it is very, very key because he will come back with two things, two specifics, one of which is a voice. a voice to cut a promo with that we have not seen out of Puma yet. This would be integral. And whenever he cuts this promo, he proceeds to tell Conan that he went out to find somebody that would never, ever turn his back on the fans, let alone on Prince Puma. Somebody that he knows is trustworthy because of how much he loves and cares for the people like the guys in the temple. Someone that Conan has never been able to get out of the shadow of because this king of Lucha Libre has always been a bigger star than what Conan could ever achieve. Boom. Rey Mysterio comes out, sides with Prince Puma, attacks Conan and Mil Muertes to chase him off. This is key because it gives the rub to Prince Puma that somebody like a Rey Mysterio would side with him on his debut to take on the mentor that backstabbed him. But also the words that Puma says are key. He would not betray the fans, nor would he betray Puma. You see, later on down the road, if you wanted to take that big heel turn moment with Rey Mysterio, this is a proper setup for it. Have Mysterio turn on Puma down the line and then placate to the idea that he is the greatest of all things ever to come through Lucha Libre. And just because Puma was on his side at first doesn't mean that Puma can lace his boots. It's an interesting way to debut him with massive potential for what they could do in the future, simply by giving a rub to Puma as being the ultimate babyface of Lucha Underground, as well as tying into a history feud with Conan before ever giving him a chance to move into a new direction. It's just a thought, just a theory. You can let me know what you think about it, though. Are either of these options worthy of investigating? Now, before we go, seeing as how I am in line at the pharmacy here to pick up some pain meds for my oldest daughter, I wanted to touch on a theory that I had with TNA. You know, we all know DRG, TNA marketing rep, trying to do what he can to push them to the next level, even though they don't feel like they want to do the same thing. I like to come up with ideas for a place like a TNA because I see so much potential and I see so many things that can be fixed and move forward that it helps my creative juices. That's one of the reasons why I do stay as passionate about TNA is because I constantly think about what new options or directions I would choose for them. And when Dixie Carter announced that they were moving to Destination America, one of the key things in the dirt sheets, which unfortunately is where we have to go for our news sources, but one of the key things being reported to them during their Spike negotiations was that Dixie wanted more time to help grow the promotion. I get that. I agree with that. But in my opinion, I don't think that Unlocked is doing that. I think that it is giving an interesting take on it, kind of that pop-up video feel. You can add in some new interesting facts, some interviews like Mike Tenay does, this top five ranking, however they're trying to get it to work. I think that what they could do that would be a little bit better, in my opinion, maybe not theirs, but in my opinion, is to chop Unlocked into 1 hour. The reason being is that you can still accomplish everything of introducing or reminding people as to what happened on last week's Impact before leading into the show. You can still accomplish that without showing every single minute of the entire show that they aired the week before. So do it in an hour, chop it up, condense it. It's still that cheap, easy content to produce. But what I want to do with that hour that I took away from Unlock is give them another option that is simple, cheap, and easy to produce, because that's what we want to do. We want to maximize the amount that we're making off this revenue, which is the time that they wanted, that extra 2 hours. So you take a new show. We're going to call it Show X for the sake of argument. And in that show, I want you to design it the way that the original main event for WWE seemed like it was going to go in. But inside Show X, I want to build an 8-week series for whichever division you choose, starting off, we're just going to say the heavyweights. And inside this heavyweight 8-series division-focused event, it's going to be a tournament. Instead of putting these number one contenders matches every other 2 weeks on Impact, let's focus it on this so we've got one in the back pocket. Now you take in this show the first 20 minutes, and we're going to say we're going to have Magnus versus Gunner, right? In that first 20 minutes, you take archive footage of what Gunner was from his time with Murphy and Gunner in their security system, or whatever it was, to his time in Immortal, to the rub that he was given by Ric Flair as being this, that, or the other, to his feud with James Storm. Take 10 minutes of time, invest into Gunner to remind people why he's important and what it is that gets him to this upper echelon, why we should invest in him. Now you do the same thing with 10 minutes for Magnus and his Brutus Magnus, to the British Invasion, to his world title win through the Dixieland stuff. You play up the history that Magnus has and why it is that we started getting behind him in the Magna Joe run. Now, 20 minutes of the show gone, take the next 20 minutes and focus on the thing that they are doing right on Unlocked, and that's the interview segments. You give Mike Tenay 10 minutes with Gunner to explain what it is that he feels he can accomplish through this tournament, why he needs that world championship shot. 10 more minutes straight up focused on Magnus. Play into the things like his family and with Mickey James and him just having a child and how that has changed him and focused him. It's 10 minutes focused on character development for both of these guys. And then the final 20 minutes of the show are centered around the match of Gunner and Magnus for this tournament. You have reused content that is already archived. A simple, easy-to-produce segment with Mike Tenay in the studios at wherever they are, or even at the event that they're hosting when they're recording these things. You have easy produced content with one match on this show. And this one match you can add to a taping for whatever night they choose to do it at. Just add two more matches that can be played on here instead of having to be added on Impact kind of randomly without anybody really knowing why. It gives a build and a reason for it. Plus, you're adding in a number one contender in the future. So at the next set of tapings, we know what to expect and to build. It feeds into the creativity so these guys know, okay, I want Magnus to start getting a push. I can pull it from here. And from this story of him winning here, I can add this in as to where he's going to get his shot later on in these tapings. I feel that it would be a valuable way, cheaply produced, plus with the fact that you have commercials inside this hour, these segments aren't going to be as long as what we're thinking of just 10, 10, 10, and 10. We're going to look at 7 here, 6 here, 8 here. It condenses it down. These are smart, easy ways to make a little bit more creativity and interesting, as well as give me a show that I feel like I have to watch. Right now, yes, I feel like I have to watch these interviews, but I can go pull them off YouTube just as quick. I feel like it's interesting to see these pop-ups with little TNA facts and Tenay's take, but I don't feel like I should have to watch the entire episode of what I've already seen to get caught up before I start watching on Friday to see this week's Impact, or on Saturday morning just to see a recap of what I already watched the night before. It's just an idea. I'm not sure if anybody likes it or not. I know a lot of people are down on TNA at this point. I think my reasoning for it is their lack of creativity, and this just gives an option for them to be creative moving forward. Now, seeing as how I am next in line to get this medication, I am going to call it quits for you guys this week. We're going to tap out on this episode of Detour because I really do need to get back to my daughter, take care of her. Also, I just wanted to take the time to say that I know Devil Vamp might think that I am a WWE hater, but in all honesty, you guys know me. It's not that I hate WWE, it's that I like seeing and investing into things for the future. That's one of the reasons why NXT is so amazing to me, guys. I the guys like a Sami Callihan, Solomon Crowe, guys like a Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, El Generico, Prince Devitt, who is now Finn Balor. These guys are people that I've been following for so long that I'm invested into them so much that I want to see them succeed moving up to the main roster. So it's nice to see when they're giving these guys things that they can sink their teeth into. I want to bring that same thing out to you with these detours, bringing up names like the Shane Stricklands, names that you might not have heard of, from the Ibushis over in New Japan to the Trevor Lees and PWG, Ricochets and Lucha Underground. These are people that might not be known to you, but I've been following them long enough that I want you to feel invested. That way, when you see them rise up through the ranks, it's the way that I feel of seeing them go from a high school level to a collegiate level to a Division A, 1, 2, whatever you want to call it, into the pros. I've had investment in these guys for a while now, so that's why I'm not going to say I hate WWE and what they do. No, I love the fact that Tyler Black, a.k.a. Seth Rollins, is getting the massive push that he gets. I love the fact that a guy that I used to love, Jon Moxley, is becoming the Dean Ambrose character. And you guys on the mainstream are getting to see glimpses of what I've seen for the past 6-7 years. It's awesome. It's very, very cool. And that's what this whole thing with Detour is all about, guys. Giving you an alternate perspective, so when things aren't working out the way that you want and you want to take the extra 20 minutes, I can give you something to invest on YouTube and look forward to in the future. But that's enough rambling for me, guys. This week, I want to make sure that you take the time to look into the debut match of Solomon Crowe. Let me know what you thought about it. Personally, I think they can have some tweaks with that entrance, especially with the music. I get the punk style, but I think more of an ominous tone would fit the character better. But there is a match that I do want you to see. I want you to go out of your way to find Lucha Underground this week and watch Tejano versus Alberto El Patron, because that was a great match. Really awesome to see these guys playing in their blood feud. Now, I'm going to quit. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to stop talking. This DRG saying I'll catch y'all down the road. Gone.
DP's got that crazy shit. We keep it crunk up. John Blazes. What do they want to do? DP's got that crazy shit. We keep it crunk up. John Blazes. 1-2-1-2. DP's got that crazy shit. We keep it crunked up, John Blaze and shit. DP's got that crazy shit. We keep it crunked up.